Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Leaders in Supply Chain podcast, Latin America. I am your host, Javier Bazañez, Managing Director for LATAM in Alcott Global. For me, it's a great pleasure to introduce you listeners today to Elian Cantao. For the people that don't know Elian, Elian is the current Supply Chain Director for Nissan in South America, covering all the region in South America. Previous to that role, she has been a supply chain consultant and also head of procurement in Cummins for a couple of years. Previous, she was working as a global procurement VP in Valid for over almost 3 years. And she has a very interesting expertise in the pharmaceutical industry, having working with Takeda Pharmaceutical for over 10 years and a half. And previous to that role, she made some procurement also and planning procurement roles in Kepler, Weber, and Delphi. And his initial career started in General Motors in the automotive industry years ago. So welcome again, Elian, for the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's start talking about your initial career in General Motors. Not too much people have the lucky, as we can say, as an engineering working in automotive industry. As I know, you started in the engineering department, and after later you moved to the procurement as a key area in supply chain umbrella. How it was this learning?
So I started in General Motors as a student, as an intern. Mm-hmm. And during 1 year, I went through all the financial department areas, so that allowed me to learn a little bit about the company, financial flows, and etc. But then after the internship, I moved to product engineering, where I was responsible for drawing the components in the system, in the CAD. So I stayed in this function for several years, and that allowed me to learn a lot about components. So mm-hmm. I think my migration, my change to procurement, to global sourcing, was really because I was going in engineering and I learned a lot about components and technical specifications. And then I was invited to join the procurement team. So that gave me a lot of background on the technical parts and how I could negotiate them with the supply base. So that started everything in my procurement supply chain world, started with that transition, let's say like that.
Yo, very, very interesting, no? Because usually for procurement, it's difficult sometimes to understand what the customers or your internal customer needs. That's right, for purchasing or for doing things. And having you previously working in engineering gives you the know-how. Okay, I know what I asking for. That's right?
Yes. And when you start a negotiation discussion with suppliers, it's really interesting. As much background you can learn from the technical portion, that will help you a lot with the negotiation skills. So you need to develop, of course, your negotiation skills, but having the technical background will help you a lot when you are in a negotiation with the supplier.
Yeah, definitely. That is very, very interesting. And after you continue in the motor or automotive industry when you move it to Kepler Weber, that's right?
Yes, I spent 12 years between General Motors and Delphi because I was working in the automotive industry. At that time, all the OEMs, all the automotives, they were creating divisions and they were separating companies. So Ford was creating Visteon, General Motors was creating Delphi Automotive Systems. And the reason was because these automakers, they used to supply components to each other. So it was kind of a weird relationship. For instance, Delphi was producing some parts for Mercedes-Benz, but mm-hmm. under the label of General Motors. So that was kind of weird in terms of business and competitors. So those OEMs, they created some separation, creating components industries, component company. So between Delphi and GM, that was like 12 years. And then I moved to, and in these 12 years, I worked in procurement, indirect procurement, direct procurement, global sourcing, created all the system separation between General Motors and Delphi. So it was a great opportunity as well to overlook into the entire procurement area as a process-wise was like end-to-end in procurement. And then I moved to Kepler Weber, which is a agribusiness company.
Totally so, different, no? Yeah. But very interesting that move. But your previous base of, as you say, indirect, direct procurement, setting the global sourcing, give you the, maybe the, we say the marco in Spanish. Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
The setting for that, no?
Exactly, exactly. So, and then I had another additional responsibility, which was the planning portion. So I started to have like supply chain plus procurement because I had planning, import, export. I had like customs clearance, warehouse. So everything.
So almost all the end-to-end supply chain in Kepler.
Yes.
That's right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So, and now Kepler Weber is really a great company in the Brazilian market, more than one plant, and the agribusiness is growing a lot. So all the relationship with the steel manufacturers, which is really a complex commodity, that gave me a lot of experience to go through. And also, at that time, I moved to the south of the company. To the south of the country, sorry.
Yeah.
And that's a completely different culture. So that helped me a lot with like people development, the team, a lot of cultural changes.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
and did you start fighting with the new competitions, say Cargill or Bunge, you know, that are in the same sector, no? How was dealing with that kind of competition in supply chain?
That's very interesting because the steel commodity is nothing, it's not something that you have like a short time to plan. The demand planning is something like very long term, you have to oversee all the sales and demand planning. So it's really competing with other very strong markets, which in the case was like the OEMs. So a lot of negotiation skills required, a lot of planning, and a lot of internal communication as well, because you need to navigate through other areas, other internal stakeholders to understand the business, to learn about the business needs,
exactly.
And then to go outside and negotiate in the name of the company you're working for. So very challenging.
Yeah, it's very challenging, that raw materials. Because I also work in Cargill, and it's very interesting, very challenging, because you need to, you understand, as you said before, the needs of your customer clearly, just to be able to offer the right raw material that they need in, for their needs in the agriculture, or just a raw material for a food area, but coming from an agriculture. That's right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, very, very interesting. So, and after that experience in that, you moved to total different industry, no? To pharmacy industry.
Yes.
How was that movement? So you decided to explore all the different industries.
Yeah, exactly. So after the agribusiness, I was invited to join the pharmaceutical area. First in Brazil. So Takeda at that time was not even Takeda, was Nycomed Pharma, which was, it was Alterna Pharma, then Nycomed Pharma. So one company was buying the other. So we moved from European to Japanese company in certain years. But I joined in the procurement as well, but in Brazil. And then after working with like direct, indirect material again, the pharmaceutical industry does something very smart. They sell the free capacity, the free production capacity to other companies. So there was a specific function there that was called external manufacturing, which means you're going to be, instead of being procurement, I was also almost like a salesperson because I was the one as the focal point account manager to manage the customers that were contracting Takeda's
Services.
services, to produce their products. So I was procurement and also external manufacturing manager.
Well, very interesting role, having the both sides of the coin, no, for helping customer and controlling the internal capacity. So very, very interesting. Any special reminder you have from that 6 years in doing that?
It was very, I learned a lot. I learned a lot. And I thought I was not a salesperson. But then when you have the procurement background, that helps you a lot to develop your sales profile, let's say. So in the finance learnings from the beginning of my career, of course, I use them because you need to understand, okay, how much this product is going to cost, what's the selling price, which machine we're going to produce, do we need one shift, two shifts, do we need to hire people, do we need extra training, extra expertise, how are we going to ask for a price increase to our customer. So all of these things, and also talking to the internal people. So of course we had the support from other departments, but I was the face of Takeda to our customers. So that brought me a lot of maturity,
Yeah,
resilience.
definitely. And this is the great part, because I mean, what I can say is that you have all the knowledge worked and developed in the previous experience, and this was the final training on the job. That's right. Applying the skills and finding tools for doing the things. That's right.
Exactly. And then at that time, Takeda decided to launch several new products in the market. And we suffered a lot because we had some difficulties. We had like some hard times to launch products in the most efficient way. And I say that like internally talking. So that forced us as a company to improve our project management skills. So I started studying and qualifying myself and other colleagues. We did that together to be better in how we manage the projects and how we manage the launch of new products. And then at that time, I was very connected to the US team because we worked in a very good synergy. And then I was invited to move to the US to be
Yeah,
the project.
as a senior project manager. Wow, very interesting. How was that experience? As we say, crossing the sea, no? Crossing the
Crossing the
to
sea.
To a
Exactly.
new society, new ways of doing things, and also a Japanese culture, that's right, inside US, no? So very
Exactly.
interesting, no? How
So
was that year
it was a
in that?
Brazilian lady moving to US for a Japanese company. So and responsible for LATAM markets. So can you imagine the craziness? But it was very good. I can say that it was a great reception and a great experience for me because I could learn a lot about the LATAM markets. And although sometimes we say, oh, we are LATAM, but countries have their own requirements, their own needs, and especially in the pharmaceutical area where you have to have the green light from the sanitary agencies, the health agencies, and each
That's
country
right.
operates in a different way. So the first step and a great advice from a great guy that I met in the US that was my partner, my colleague, my peer, and he was a British guy, a great friend now. And the first advice he gave me was, Eliane, please connect very closely with the regulatory folks because these guys will provide you technical expertise to be a great project manager. And that's what I did. I learned a lot from them. I learned about the requirements in those countries, the things that I should pay attention, what would be a critical path to the project. So that's the way I kind of survived in this world because it was very challenging, but it was a great pleasure, great experience with these guys, great friends, and people that I really admire, extremely strong supply chain team. So it was a great experience for me.
Yeah, I can imagine, because also what you're telling me is something maybe very similar what you were doing in your previous Nicomet part of time, because you were trying to understand your final customer, as you say, you understand the specific requirements and everything, and how you move back with all that information to help in your plans, in your manufacturing, to mm-hmm. give the times and give the and do the supply. That's right.
Exactly.
Wow, very, very interesting. And after that, you move to another role, no? After they give you the supply chain project manager for all LATAM.
Yes,
and you move to Chicago.
Yes. Okay. So I was responsible for the launch of new products in all the Americas, but I was sitting in Chicago head office.
Yeah, in the Windy City. So for sure, you have a very, very cool weather in the Christmas.
Yes. Very, very cold. Very cold and beautiful weather.
What did you did in that time? Any specific interesting project? What was your challenges there for being the full supply chain project manager for LATAM?
It was like from the technical side, like I said, understanding the local requirements for each country. But more than that, understanding the culture of our LATAM teams, because the way you work with, for instance, Mexican people is different from the way you work with Argentinians, with Brazilians, because we have culture-specific ways of doing business. So, of course,
that's right.
We have a standard as companies that we represent, but we need to respect the cultural aspects. And that was the great learning for me, understanding people, connecting with them, trying to solve the challenges, the cultural barriers, the language. Although the language was not that big thing for me, but it's always the way you express yourself. So it's always a challenge when you speak a different language. So I think people management was my great challenge, I would say, and my great learning.
Yeah, definitely. The people management, you understanding the skills of each one, you understanding which are the great part that everything can give value to the company and to the specific project. That's right.
Yeah.
So just creating you the ability of how I will place together all these guys just to get the result, no? Because you was managing project. That's right.
Exactly.
Oh, that's very, very, very interesting. And after that, you moved back to Brazil, that's right,
with
Valid Global Procurement. How was that moving back to Sao Paulo?
I moved to Sao Paulo in this procurement VP function. But funny that I had teams working outside of Brazil. And so I had one team in Spain, one in Argentina, and another one back in Chicago again. So I had several connections with people in all those offices. And then it was a great experience again, because at that time, we were working very strongly in establishing a new procurement governance. So it was mm-hmm. a different great learning for me. It was basically implementing a whole new company, a whole new governance, new stronger rules and clear rules and people development. So it was a different approach for me, and it was very interesting as well.
Wow, very interesting. During this year, you have been generating a great know-how in procurement function inside the supply chain umbrella, no?
Yeah.
I mean, and the procurement is a key area in the end-to-end supply chain. Which are the key elements of procurement for any supply chain that you think people need to take in account when they want to do something in procurement? What do you think?
I think the number one rule is know your product as much as possible. So go there, study the parts you are buying or the services you need to contract for the company you're working for, connect with people, understand your internal users, so the people that are asking you for these, your internal stakeholders, learn about their pain and learn about the company challenges. So what's being good, what's not good, what's the difficult from suppliers. Talk to suppliers in a very transparent way. I think the key for me in all those years was to, as a computer science person, I'm always connected to the end-to-end process and understanding the big picture. So the first question I ask is about, okay, tell me about the process, the end-to-end process. And I try to understand the critical path to all those phases and parts and materials. So if it's a specific part buying, let me understand the cost breakdown, the category, the materials, which is the component that is more significant to the cost structure. So if I understand all about cost structure, commodity materials, all the supply chain, so what's the expensive part of the categories I'm buying, I'm responsible for? What costs more? Why it's costing more? And it's not only about negotiating the piece price with suppliers and getting some savings. Sometimes it's analyzing with your internal stakeholders if that part is over-specified, if you can harmonize, if there's an opportunity to harmonize parts and specifications. Understand your supplier difficulties as well. So visit suppliers, learn about the process, learn about what's critical for them. And from that learning, sometimes you can find great solutions to the company you're working for. Sometimes it's not about just insisting on a price reduction. It's much more than that. So my advice is, as much as you learn about the whole chain, that will give you some keys to find great solutions to the company you were working for.
Wow, that's right. I cannot add anything else more. You say perfectly, just involving in the entire end-to-end supply chain, understanding the things, what you need, what your customer need, which the different customer or the different clients in the internal chain, and which opportunities can you make creating synergies between the supplier and the internal customer that you have in your own organization. Yeah. That is key. That is key. I'm very, very interested. You're reminding me something that we made also in Cargill many years ago, just creating an innovation, like a rule or table with the suppliers and trying to create initiative with our internal customer, just creating generation, not only of cost saving, but improving the processes. And this is very, very interesting because sometimes people think that the supplier will not tell you nothing, no?
Yeah.
But if you create the right base of confidence and create the right rules just to share if there are winning for both, that is the great part of doing negotiation, that not only one part wins, like winning both. That's right?
Yes, exactly. And I really believe in transparency for the good and for the bad. So hard times, you need to be transparent. Good times, you need to be transparent in long-term relationships, because you can move from one company to the other, but probably you will negotiate with that supplier again. And also, if you develop a long-term relationship with the suppliers, in times like pandemic or crisis, the supplier will try to help you as much as possible in a very transparent way. So I really believe in the long-term relationship.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And later on that, you were a little as a consultation, but you came, you're coming back to the automotive industry, no? Now with Nissan. How was that new challenge came to you? And what are you planning? What are you doing there?
It's a great opportunity. It's almost 1 year within Nissan now. and being responsible for the supply chain in all South America. It's a great opportunity to develop my team, also to find good innovation projects, because in supply chain, we always have opportunities to look for the entire end-to-end solution. And now with a lot of innovation solutions in the market, the way we are going and moving to the future with artificial intelligence, with blockchain, so there are so many good new things coming ahead. So nowadays, supply chain is not anymore about moving things from one side to the other. It's not only about transportation, it's much more than that. So it's customer experience, it's the supplier relationship, it's the entire end-to-end control of the chain. It's optimizing, reducing costs, improving safety, having data right on time. So there are so many challenges to all segments that's the direction we are moving for.
No, that's right. And this is what I was about my next question, no? How have been the digital transformation started in supply chain and accelerated by the pandemic? How do you see the importance of this transformation, no? And but for sure, you have been living that part of the transformation, specifically in the procurement area, when can be a not automated, just some kind of optimization, but some kind also of outsourcing in the process of procure to pay or a different part of the processes, no?
Yes, I think we all suffered a lot during pandemic. We've never been to a big crisis like that, but it also brought us a lot of learning. So now we are much more, I say we as the entire world community of supply chain. So we are more resilient, we are more connected to the risk management, we are moving to a different scenario of planning ahead, understanding the market, calculating the risks, mitigating the risks. I think that's a great word as well. So not only working on projects to improve our chain and the customer experience and services, but also how to mitigate next crisis, I would say like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And this is the key of what we should be doing in the supply chain. And about trends, what do you think that could be the future trends if you have a crystal ball in your hands? What do you think that will be key to define the supply chain in the next, let's say, 5 years or something like that?
I would say that the speed of changes now, it's something that we cannot control anymore. So the speed of technology, data, information, innovation, it's going crazy. It's flying. So we can never stop pushing for that technology. So let's make use of the technology and how things are coming to be as a benefit to all of us. And let's improve the quality of relationships we have with our stakeholders and peers and customers and suppliers, because that's the portion we need to take care of. We're so talking about mental health, not only physical health, because the world was almost like going crazy with all the pandemic, with all the crises, the post-pandemic, and then the home office, many people leaving their jobs and quitting. So the world is crazy enough. So now
Yes.
that we have so many tools for technology, we need to keep improving and keep pushing our companies to that technology to work in favor of our operations. So if I can give an advice for the professionals in supply chain that are learning, I would say that we need to continue learning always, always. We always have new things to learn, fortunately, to be connected with the market and data trend, to connect with people, to try to bring new ways of seeing that same process. Like I said, sometimes you can see opportunities to improve a certain process because we are looking for cost efficiency in all operations, but without losing quality and the safety purpose. When I say safety, I mean safety in the operations, safety in the quality of the environment we're working on, the mental health, so all types of safety that I say. And then communication. Communication is a key to our that crazy world. So sometimes we need to over-communicate to make clear what we need, what we're working with. As leaders, we have this role to be very transparent and key and try to push and lead by example and also help the others to grow and to develop in their careers, to understand. Because career, we are responsible for our careers. It's not our boss. So, but sometimes as leaders, we need to help our teams to develop themselves. So it's just a matter of, it's that sense of community and how we can grow together as a team. So that would be my point of view.
No, great, great recommendation that you give to professionals that want to develop in this supply chain world, in the procurement world. And this is very important. What did you say? I mean, just first of all, just connecting the people and, yes, looking for the cause, but without forgetting the quality and safety. No, that is very, very important in the supply chain. No, I have been a great, great conversation with you, Elian. I don't know. I would like if you have a final message for the people that are listening the podcast, and especially for that people, young people that want to grow in this, as you say, this crazy world in supply chain. What kind of final recommendation or your final message could you give?
I would say, regardless of your title, your moment in your career, the area you're working, the company you're working for, I would say make a difference. So every morning when you wake up, I would say, how can I make a difference today? A difference to the person that works in my side, a difference to myself, a difference to my family, or a difference to something that will give me some spotlight in my job. How can I make a difference in the process I'm taking care of? Let me take a look at these logistics here, if I can improve something. So never stop learning, because this will help you to have your own insights and make a difference. And if you can bring people with you, that would be perfect. That would be my advice. At least this is something I try to do myself.
No, great, great. I think that is a great recommendation for the people. Just making the difference every day, that is very important in our jobs, in our industry, in our life. No, having a great, great pleasure to talk to you, Elian.
It was a pleasure for me to have this conversation. I hope you guys liked it, and I am available if you need any help. I have the LinkedIn. If you want to connect with me, just let me know, okay? Keep in touch. Great pleasure. Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you to you, Elian. Thank you to you. And thanks, everybody, for listening to our podcast. If you like what you hear, you must go to www.alcottglobal.com and click on the button of the podcast to see all the programs and notes. You can also subscribe to the mailing list to receive all the updates and news. You can share with your friends and also follow us on LinkedIn. And if you are looking to hire senior supply chain executives in your business, in Latin, in US, Spain, or worldwide, just call us in Alcott Global Executive Search. We will be more than happy to help you. Have a wonderful day.